الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. In our previous classes we have been discussing the issue of أهمية علم الطبقات والإسناد وعلم الرجال والتاريخ, the importance of the knowledge of learning about the طبقات, and likewise the chains of narration, the narrators, and as well the history and the dates. And we have seen a number of benefits related to this issue, and from that is that which is collected by Abu Dawood and likewise Imam Ahmad from the hadith of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, تَسْمَعُونَ وَيُسْمَعُ مِنْكُمْ وَيُسْمَعُ مِنْ مَنْ سَمِعَ مِنْكُمْ, that you're going to hear the knowledge, meaning that you're going to hear it from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and it's going to be heard from you, meaning you're going to carry it on after me, meaning that the companions are going to carry it on after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and teach their students. وَيُسْمَعُ مِنْ مَنْ سَمِعَ مِنْكُمْ, and it will be heard from those who heard from you, meaning likewise the students of the companions, they will also have students, meaning each generation they will learn precisely that which is revealed to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they will follow that guidance, and they will establish it inwardly and outwardly, and they will spread it through the lands. They will spread it through the lands, and spreading knowledge and the legislation and the Quran and the Sunnah and the narrations, and likewise implementing that and abiding by that in application. In application and calling to it, and calling to it in creed and manner and conduct and speech and deed. Indeed. Tasma'una, tasma'una wa yusma'u minkum, wa yusma'u min man sami'a minkum. So this is a reference to the tabaqat here that we have been studying in our previous classes. In our previous classes, it's been collected by Al-Imam Muslim. It's been collected by Al-Imam Muslim in the Muqaddimah, fi Muqaddimati Sahihihi, rahimahullah, in the introduction of his authentic collection, Sahih Muslim, from the narration of Muhammad ibn Sirin, rahimahullah, he died in the year 110, from the great scholars of Hadith and the great scholars of Al-Jarh with Ta'dil, and he's from those first and foremost to establish these principles and to speak about the narrators and to praise and to criticize and to clarify whose narrations are accepted and whose are not. He mentioned, rahimahullah, al-isnadu min al-deen, al-isnadu min al-deen, that the chain is from the religion. Walawla al-isnadu laqala man sha'a ma sha'a, and had it not been for the chain of narration, then whoever liked will say whatever they like. We have seen likewise that this has been reported authentically as well from Abdullah ibn Al-Mubarak, rahimahullah ta'ala, he died in the year 181. And also in the introduction of Sahih Muslim, as well from the narration of Muhammad ibn Sirin, rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, إِنَّ هَذَا الْعِلْمَ دِينٌ فَانْظُرُوا عَمَّنْ تَأْخُذُونَ دِينَكُمْ, that indeed this knowledge is religion. فَانْظُرُوا عَمَّنْ تَأْخُذُونَ دِينَكُمْ, so you must look to whom you take your religion from. And this knowledge that you're studying and that you're studying it and learning it with sincere faith, believing that it's revelation that was revealed and guidance that was revealed to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from the Lord of the worlds, and that it's the means to reach the pleasure and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that it's the path to paradise. So seeking this knowledge is an action of worship. So you must be cautious who you seek this knowledge from. And likewise, this knowledge will be the foundation for your actions. And if the knowledge is proper and good, sound and profound, then the actions will be heavy and upright and noble and strong and beneficial for a person in this life and the hereafter. But if the knowledge is deficient or weak, or if it's wrong or corrupted, then the actions based upon that likewise will be accordingly deficient and weak. Will likewise be accordingly deficient and weak. And in the hereafter, the deeds they will be weighed. The deeds, they will be weighed, and the person, he will be taken to account based upon his actions, and those actions are based upon knowledge. And any action that is not based upon knowledge, or it's based upon knowledge that is corrupt or incorrect, then those actions will be rejected and not accepted. Then those actions will be rejected and not accepted. فَإِنَّ هَذَا الْعِلْمَ الدِّينَ فَانْظُرُوا عَمَّنْ تَأْخُذُونَ دِينَكُمْ, this knowledge is deen, this knowledge is religion, this knowledge is learning it and seeking it and applying it and calling to it is worship, is ibadah, from the greatest means to achieve the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal. and to enter paradise. فَانْظُرُوا عَمَّنْ تَأْخُذُونَ دِينَكُمْ. So therefore you have to look who you take your religion from, and you have to look who you take your knowledge from. They must be reliable. They must be reliable, and they must be trustworthy, and also they must be proficient in the knowledge that they carry and teach. And also they must be proficient in the knowledge that they carry and teach. And also in the Muqaddimah Sahih Muslim, from the hadith of Abdullah ibn Mubarak, rahimahullah, he said, بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَ الْقَوْمِ الْقَوَائِمِ. Between us and between the people are the qawaim. Are the qawaim, yani al-azimba, yani the reins of the affair. Yani al-isnan, he's referring to the chain. Between us and between them, between us and the deviants, from the disbelievers, from the Jews and the Christians and the pagans, and likewise from those who ascribe to this deen and to the way of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, yet they follow their whims and desires and misconceptions and lusts, between us and between them is the chain. بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَهُمَ الْقَوَائِمِ يَعْنِي al-isnan. Yani al-isnan, between us and between them is the qawaim, yani the scale of the affairs. And this is how you check the individual, by bringing him up to the chain. This is why one of them they would narrate, and then whenever it would be said to him, who did you hear that from? Who narrated this to you? And if he was a liar, or if he was somebody who was weak in the likes like this, then he would start to shiver and shake, and he would know that he has no way out now. He's backed in a corner. Either he's going to mention the upright and noble narrators truthfully, or he's going to mention someone who is blameworthy, and he's going to be blamed, or he's going to be censored. Or if he tries to lie, he knows that those noble scholars of hadith, they will find him and they'll catch him in his lie. They'll find him and they'll catch him in his lie. So to be cautious where one learns the deen from is from the methodology of the Salaf, and from the way of the pious predecessors. And this is from following the Sunnah with regards to seeking knowledge. We do not take knowledge from here and there and from everywhere, and from everyone who wears a bisht, or everyone who wears an imamah, or everyone who wears a shimar, or the likes like this, or everyone who has a beard, or everyone who has his thobe above his ankles, and the likes like this. All of these are outward signs that are good, apparently, from the sunnah, but this does not necessitate that this person is reliable or trustworthy. This does not necessitate that this person is reliable or trustworthy. Even some of them, they have praises from some of the reliable people of knowledge, but we have seen But what we have seen from them is deception and trickery and playing games and lies. So those praisals and those tazkiyat will not benefit a person whenever his actions are contrary. So the true testimony to a person's knowledge, who ascribes to knowledge, whether a great scholar or a student, is that knowledge is seen from him, and he's known by that knowledge that he carries and that he teaches. It's seen in his conduct, it's seen in his manners, it's seen in his etiquettes, it's seen in his demeanor, it's seen in the way that he moves, the way that he speaks, the way that he handles situations. It's seen on him that he has benefited first and foremost from that knowledge himself. He's carrying that knowledge and carrying the manners of knowledge and carrying the manners of knowledge. So this is of utmost importance to, and to this day, have concern with the chain that we learn from individuals who learn from the scholars who are qualified. We learn from individuals who learn from the scholars who are qualified. And the scholars, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, وَرَثَتُ الْأَنْبِيَا وَرَثَتُ الْأَنْبِيَا. They are the inheritors of the Prophet. So this is the chain back to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This knowledge has been transmitted in this manner generation after generation, time after time, time after time, all the way until it reached us today and is still pure, alhamdulillah. إِنَّ نَحْنُ نَزَّلْنَا ذِكْرَ وَإِنَّ لَهُ لَحَافِظُونَ. Indeed, we have revealed the dhikr, and indeed we're going to preserve it. So it's still preserved. وَلَا تَزَالُ طَائِفَةٌ مِنْ أُمَّتِي ظَاهِرِينَ عَلَى الْحَقِّ. And there will always remain a group from my ummah victorious and upright upon the truth. And this victorious group, they are the scholars upon the way of the scholars of hadith, and from the early generations, those who are upon the way of the Sahab and the Tabi'een and the Taba'a Tabi'een all the way until this day. هَؤُلَاءِ هُمْ الطَّائِفَةُ الْمَنْصُورَةُ وَالْفِرْقَةُ النَّاجِيَةُ. May Allah make us from them. May Allah make us from them. So one way to be from them is to suffice with learning from them, and those who learn from them, and those who are upon their way clearly. Those who are upon their way clearly. As for taking knowledge from here and there, and being loose with regards to whom one listens to, with regards to the knowledge of the Qur'an and the Sunnah, and the Salafiyyah and the likes, then this is from the fastest way to deviate. From the fastest way to deviate, and for misconceptions to enter the heart, and for corruption to come into one's life, one's manners, one's etiquettes, one's creed, And that life's like this, from listening to everyone and taking knowledge from anyone who speaks about knowledge. Also, it has been connected by Ibn Hibban in his work Al-Majruhin. He has a work about criticizing the narrators, those who are weak and their narrations are rejected. It's called Al-Majruhin. He mentioned a narration from Al-Thawri, rahimahullahu ta'ala. In this work, he says, Al-Isnadu Silahu Al-Mu'min. إذا لم يكن معه سلاح فبأي شيء يقاتل. That the chain is the weapon of the believer, and if he does not have with him a weapon, then what is he going to fight with? If he has no weapon with him, then how is he going to fight? Then what is he going to fight with? And how is he going to fight, and how is he going to defend himself? So the manner to fight and to defend oneself with regards to these affairs is to have knowledge of the chain, knowledge of those who are qualified to speak about the religion and to say what they said, and to believe what they believed. To say what they said and to believe what they believed, and to understand the way they understood, and to implement the religion based upon that which they transmitted. So a person, he has to have a connection back to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ahlul bid'ah, they do not have that connection. They're following their whims and their desires. The connection leads a person upright and directly on the straight path, as-sirat al-mustaqim. As for turning away from that connection and leaving the path of the sahab and the tabi'een and the atba' tabi'een and those upon their way and understanding the deen, then they go away and astray from the straight path, and they fall into misguidance and error and deviation, and they're tried by misunderstandings and misconceptions and innovations in the religion, and they're tried by lust and impermissible desires and whims that are forbidden. So the way to be safe is to hold on to the rope of Allah, and to be along with those people holding on to the rope of Allah. وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَأُولَئِكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَالصِّدِّيقِينَ وَالشُّهَدَاءِ وَالصَّالِحِينَ وَحَسُنَ أُولَئِكَ رَفِيقًا. Also, it has been narrated by Al-Khatib Al-Baghdadi, rahimahullah ta'ala. Before that, Ibn Hibban, he died in the year 354. Also, it has been narrated by Al-Khatib Al-Baghdadi, rahimahullah ta'ala, who died in the year 463. In his work, Sharafu Ashab Al-Hadith, Al-Khatib Al-Baghdadi, we have seen, rahimahullah, Ahmad ibn Ali ibn Thabit, Abu Bakr Ahmad ibn Ali ibn Thabit, Al-Khatib Al-Baghdadi, rahimahullah. He died in the year 463. There's almost no science from the sciences of hadith, except for he wrote an individual book about that subject. Rahimahullah ta'ala. And from that, he has a work entitled Sharafu Ashab al-Hadith. The honor and nobility of the scholars of al-Hadith. He mentioned a narration to Abu Hatim al-Razi, rahimahullah. His name is Muhammad ibn Idris, Abu Hatim al-Razi. He died in the year 277. He said, لَمْ يَكُنْ فِي أُمَّةٍ مِنَ الْأُمَّمِ مُنْذُ خَلَقَ اللَّهُ آدَمُ أُمَنَاءٌ يَحْفَظُونَ آثَارَ الرُّسُلِ إِلَّا فِي هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ
There has never been a nation from the nations ever since Allah created Adam that had reliable and trustworthy men who are protecting and preserving, memorizing the narrations of the messengers, except in this ummah. This is a specific quality to the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Allah has created and selected and chosen men who will be upright, truthful. Upright, truthful, and trustworthy, and reliable, and sincere in their religion, and in their deen, and their search for knowledge, and application of knowledge, and teaching and spreading that knowledge, and preserving and transmitting that knowledge. There was no men in the previous nations doing this with regards to the information, the revelation, the legislation, and law that had come from the previous messengers, except in the nation of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We see the wisdom from that because there's no prophet after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and his message is the final message, and it's an encompassing message for all mankind, white and black and Arab and non-Arab, all the way to the day of resurrection. And it's not abrogated, and there's no prophet after the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, he mentioned, rahimahullah, he died in the year 728. وَعِلْمُ الْإِسْنَادِ وَالْرِوَايَةِ مِمَّا خَصَّ اللَّهُ بِهِ أُمَّةَ مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ عِلْمُ الْإِسْنَادِ وَالْرِوَايَةِ مِمَّا خَصَّ اللَّهُ بِهِ أُمَّةَ مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. That the knowledge of the chain and the knowledge of narration and transmitting statements and the likes, this is something that Allah has specified the Ummah of Muhammad with. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَجَعَلَهُ سُلَمًا إِلَى الدِّرَايَةِ. And He has made the chain a staircase, a stairway to reach understanding, in the religion. So this is referring to a principle that people of knowledge, they mention al-kalamu aw thiqh al-hadith. ثقه الحديث فرع عن صحته أو الكلام في فقه الحديث الكلام في فقه الحديث فرع عن صحته. That to speak about the understanding of the narration, or to speak about the benefits of the narration, to speak about the halal and the haram of the narration, or the laws that are found in the narration, this is based upon whether it's authentic or not. So if it's not authentic, there's no need to discuss benefits, and there's no need to discuss benefits or rules or rulings that are derived from the narration if it's not authentic. So the means that leads, the pathway, the staircase that leads a person to having the proper understanding of the religion that was revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the chain to verify that the information being mentioned is authentic. And it is proper and good, and it is not a lie, nor a mistake or error. It is not a lie, nor a mistake or error. So he says, فَأَهْلُ كِتَابِ لَا إِسْنَادَ لَهُمْ يَأْثُرُونَ بِهِ الْمَنْقُولَاتِ يَأْثُرُونَ بِهِ الْمَنْقُولَاتِ. So the people of the book, referring to the Jews and the Christians, they have no chain. They have no chain to follow up their narrations, and that which has been transmitted to them. And they're just narrations that have absolutely no chain. There's no way for them to verify the authenticity of these statements that were ascribed to the previous prophets. Shaykh al-Islam, he says, rahimahullah, وَهَكَذَا الْمُبْتَدِعُونَ مِنْ هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ أَهْلُ الضَّلَالَاتِ وَهَكَذَا الْمُبْتَدِعُونَ مِنْ هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ أَهْلُ الضَّلَالَاتِ. And likewise, the innovators from this ummah, the people of misguidance, وَإِنَّمَا الْإِسْنَادُ لِمَنْ أَعْظَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ الْمِنَّةِ أَهْلَ الْإِسْلَامِ وَالسُّنَّةِ. The chain is only for those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has enlarged, has magnified the bounty and blessing upon them. And the Jews and Christians, the people of the book, the followers of the previous nations, they have no chain. And likewise, the mubtadi'ah, the innovators from this ummah, the people of desires and whims and misguidance, also they have no chain. Rather, the only ones who have the chain are the ones whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has magnified their blessing and emphasized their favor and bounty upon them, the people of al-Islam, ahl al-Islam, and the true followers of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the way to identify the one who is the true follower is that he has the proper understanding, and that's based upon evidence and proof. And he's following the chain of narration back to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's not in contradiction to them. Ahl al-Islami wa sunnah. إِنَّمَا الْإِسْنَادُ لِمَنْ أَعْظَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ مِنَّةَ أَهْلَ الْإِسْلَامِ وَالسُّنَّةِ. The chain is only for those whom Allah has magnified the bounty and favor for, the people of al-Islam wa sunnah. Any of the true followers of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, يُفَرِّقُونَ بِهِ بَيْنَ الصَّحِيحِ وَالسَّقِيمِ وَالْمُعْوَجِ وَالْقَوِيمِ. And they're able to distinguish by way of the chain that which is authentic and that which is weak, and that which is crooked and that which is upright and straight. And this is the end of the statement of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala. So to believe in the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and to follow his guidance and to adhere and hold fast to his sunnah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is an inevitable obligation, is a mandatory obligation upon all of mankind, and that's not possible except by knowing what the companions were upon radiallahu anhum, and that's not possible except by knowing what the tabi'un were upon rahimahumullah, and that's not possible except by knowing what the atba' the tabi'in were upon, and that's not possible except for referring back to those books that were gathered in the next generation. They're known as al-kutub al-sitta. They're known as the kutub al-sitta. That is the book of Bukhari and the book of Muslim and the book of Abi Dawood and the book of Tirmidhi and the book of Nasa'i and the book of Ibn Majah and the other books as well, along with them, like the book of Imam Malik and the book of Imam Ahmed and the book of Ad-Darimi and other works as well. The Sunnah and the Deen and the understanding is gathered in these works specifically, and in other works as well. We have been discussing all about the creed, and the works, they're called Kutub al-Aqa'id al-Musnad, the books that are all about creed only, but they're clarified with chains of narration, just like the books of the Sunnah, just like the book of Bukhari. There's other books as well that's all about Aqidah, that's authored in the same manner with chains of narration, with chains of narration. Sunnah li Ibn Abi Asim, and likewise a Sunnah li Abdullah ibn al-Imam Ahmed, and a Sunnah li al-Halal, and many works after that, al-Sharia al-Ajuri, and the book of al-Alikai, and al-Sabuni, and the likes of those works that we had discussed in the introduction of our previous seminar. So these works here, they're authored in chapters referring to creed and belief, and in every chapter there are narrations with chains back to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and those first generations, clarifying the true religion and the pure deen and guidance that was revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the issue of the chain and asking about the people and where you heard, where one heard the information, where he learned the issue from, where he learned that creed from, where he learned that tafsir from, that interpretation of that verse from, where he got the understanding of that hadith from. This is of utmost importance, and this is something that had begun in the early days, rather something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had established in Al-Qur'an Al-Kareem. And Allah, He mentioned in His book, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, O you who believe, in ja'akum fasiqun binaba'in fatabayyanu. O you who believe, if a fasiq comes to you, somebody who is not reliable, somebody who's corrupt, somebody who's known for outward sin and lowly and foul manners, if he comes to you with some information, فَتَبَيَّنُوا, you have to verify, you have to make sure it's true. You don't accept it right away. And تُصِيبُوا قَوْمًا بِجَهَالَةٍ فَتُصْبِحُوا عَلَى مَا فَعَلْتُمْ نَادِمِينَ, because if you accept the statement of those who are not reliable on face value like that, then maybe you're going to think bad about someone or say or do something bad to someone who does not deserve it. And you will and out of ignorance, you will violate the rights of others, and then you will regret after doing that and after violating those rights. So if the information of a fasiq is an obligation to make tathabbut, to make tabayyun in some recitations, in some qira'ah, fatathabbatu, you have to make tathabbut, you have to make tabayyun. So this is with regards to the information that is brought by a fasiq. By a fasiq, somebody who's known to perpetrate major sin or to be persistent upon minor sin, somebody who is known to be upon a bad way and not a good way. That's what's known from him. You don't accept his information on face value. Rather, it's an obligation to verify and to check and to affirm and to make sure. To verify and to check and to affirm and to make sure. So if that's the case with the statement of the fasiq, then the opposite is true with regards to the statement of the salih, the one who is righteous, and the one who is upright, the one who is thiqa, the one who is reliable. You don't have to verify, rather you accept his statement without any verification. The one you have to verify is the fasiq. As for the one who is reliable and trustworthy, and one that what you know from him is good, then you accept his statement, and you accept his testimony without any verification. So this is an indication to the obligation of verifying the statements and checking them and accepting the statements of those who are reliable and not accepting the statements of those who are not reliable, not until they are verified. Until they are verified. Also the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned in a narration that is considered mutawatir, love line. And it's a narration that is authentic. It has so many chains of narration. And this is a glad tidings for the scholars and the students of hadith. A supplication for them from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he said, نَظَّرَ اللَّهُ إِمْرَأً سَمِعَ مَقَالَتِي فَحَفِظَهَا وَوَعَاهَا فَبَلَّغَهَا كَمَا سَمِعَ فَبَلَّغَهَا كَمَا سَمِعَ أَوْ أَدَّاهَا فَأَدَّاهَا كَمَا سَمِعَهَا. May Allah enlighten and brighten the face of a person who hears one of my statements and then he understands it and then he conveys it in the same way that he heard it. In the same way that he heard it. So here is an indication of the obligation of being precise in narration. Being precise in narration, hearing the narrations, hearing the knowledge, learning the knowledge, and then striving to comprehend it, understand it. ثُمَّ أَدَّاهَا كَمَا سَمِعَهَا. Then he relates it in the same manner that he heard it. An indication to the obligation of memorization and precision in narration. So a person who's going to narrate or to speak about the deen in general, he has to be reliable in his religion, his creed, and his manners and methodology first and foremost. And then along with that, he has to be precise and the knowledge that he is conveying. He has to be precise in the knowledge that he is conveying. So these affairs here, they're observed. These affairs here, they are observed. This is what the people of knowledge, they refer to when they say, for example, so-and-so is tiqa. This narrator is tiqa, meaning he's reliable and trustworthy, but this term here includes his adala and also his dhabt. It includes the fact that he's reliable in his religion, his manners and his conduct, and his piety, that's what is seen from him, he's upright and good, and that's what's known from him, that he's on a proper and good understanding of the religion and application of that, and also he's precise and good in the knowledge that he conveys. And the knowledge that he conveys, whether he conveys it from memory or whether he conveys it whether he conveys it in a written manner that he has inscribed and taken down. In any case, these are from the most important affairs with regards to these narrators, those who are upright, that they have adala, that they are reliable and trustworthy in their religion, in their faith, in their creed and belief, in their methodology and way, in their manners and conduct, their demeanor, and their understanding of the religion, and their application of the religion. And along with that, they are also precise and strong and firm in the knowledge that they carry and that they transmit and teach. The knowledge that they carry and transmit and teach. So now we discuss now we see that these are evidences from the Quran and the Sunnah indicating these issues of being precise and verifying and checking in the narrations and not accepting knowledge from anyone and not accepting knowledge from just anyone and from everywhere. So as for actually applying that and verifying that and making sure about the information that one receives that's ascribed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from the first to do that was the best of this ummah. What's his name? Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu. When did he die? 13. In the year 13. What was his name? Abdullah Ibn Abi Quhafa. What's the name of Abu Quhafa? Uthman. Uthman. Abdullah Ibn Abi Quhafa. Abdullah Ibn Abi Quhafa. This is the name of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu. Al-Hafidh al-Dhahabi, rahimahullah, he died in the year 748. He has many works with regards to the science of hadith and many works specific with regards to the narrators of hadith. It was mentioned about Al-Dhahabi rahimahullah that this is mubalagha, it's mubalagha, but what was mentioned about him is that he had memorized and he's able to mention the lineages of all of mankind back to Adam. And he, all of the people back to Adam, he knows the lineage, and he's so profound in his knowledge of the men and the narrators. Even it was mentioned about Ibn Hajar, rahimahullah ta'ala, al-Asqalani, that in the year 852, he said he drank Zamzam. He drank the water Zamzam for the hifd of Dhahabi. And he drank the Zamzam water, hoping, because the Prophet ﷺ said, ma'u Zamzam lima shuriba lah. The water of Zamzam is for whatever you drink it for. Meaning you have a dua, and you in your heart you have a dua, you make dua, and then you drink the water. It's mentioned that Ibn Hajar, he drank the water for to have the memorization of the likes of Al-Dhahabi. The likes of Al-Dhahabi. And then he mentioned later on that he wished he didn't make any restriction. Yani he wanted to have even greater than Dhahabi. Rahimahullah ta'ala. But just to emphasize yani the knowledge of this great scholar from the later generations. He's from the students of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah. Rahimahum Allah ta'ala. One of the works that he has is called Tadhkiratul Hufadh. And it's a smaller work, actually, compared to many of his other works with regards to the narrators. It's one of the rather smaller ones. It's about 5 volumes. Smaller one, huh? It's about 5-6 volumes only. Only. He has other works that's much longer than that, much greater than that. So in this work, the very first biography is called Tadhkiratul Hufadh. Al-Hufadh is the plural of Hafid. Any of those who have memorized and preserved the narrations. The very first tarjama, the very first biography that he mentioned is the biography of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, radiallahu anhu. And he says, and he mentioning a number of affairs I summarize now to get to our point. He says, وَكَانَ أَوَّلُ مَنْ اِحْتَاطَ فِي قَبُولِ الْأَخْبَارِ أَبُو بَكْرٍ as-Siddiq. That the very first one to take precaution in accepting the narrations from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَكَانَ أَوَّلُ مَنْ اِحْتَاطَ فِي قَبُولِ الْأَخْبَارِ أَبَا بَكْرٍ أَسْسِدِّيقِ رضي الله عنه. The first to take precaution and accepting the narrations, and yani accepting the narrations from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم was Abu Bakr as-Siddiq رضي الله عنه. So he says, فَرَوَى إِبْنُ حِشِهَابِ and قَبِيسَ إِبْنْ ذُؤَيْبِ أَنَّ الْجَدَّةِ جَاءَتْ إِلَىٰ أَبِي بَكْرٍ تَلْتَمِسُ أَنْ تُورَثْ. He said it's been narrated from Ibn Shihab. Who is that? Az-Zuhri, rahimahullah. And that he narrated from Qabisa ibn Dhu'ayb, also from the great scholars of the Tabi'een that was in Al-Madinah as well. He says that a grandmother came to Abu Bakr. A grandmother came to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu asking for her inheritance. فَقَالَ رَضِيَ anhu, مَا أَجِدُ فِي كِتَابِ اللَّهِ شَيْئًا وَمَا عَلِمْتُ أَنَّ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ ذَكَرَ لَكِ شَيْئًا. He said, she's asking for her inheritance, a grandmother. And he said, رضي الله عنه, I don't find anything in the Book of Allah referring to this for you. And I do not know anything from the Messenger of Allah. And I do not know, وَمَا عَلِمْتُ أَنَّ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ ذَكَرَ لَكِ شَيْئًا. And I don't know that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned for you right anything likewise. And you, as far as I know from the book and the sunnah, you have no right in the inheritance. You have no right in the inheritance. ثُمَّ سَأَلَ النَّاسِ. And then Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he asked the people. فَقَامَ الْمُغِيرَ يعني الْمُغِيرَ بن شُعْبَ radiallahu anhu. الْمُغِيرَ, he stood up. فَقَالَ حَضَرْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ يُعْطِيهَا السُّدُسِ. He said, I witnessed that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would give her a sixth. فَقَالَ لَهُ حَلْ مَعَكَ أَحَدٍ. So now Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he says, do you have anyone along with you? Is there anyone else along with you to verify what you're mentioning? فَشَهِدَ مُحَمَّدُ بْنُ مَسْلَمَةَ بِمِثْلِ ذَلِكَ. So at this time, Muhammad ibn Maslamah radiallahu anhu, he bore wind, he testified as well to the same ruling. فَأَنْفَذَهُ لَهَا أَبُو بَكْرٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ. So therefore Abu Bakr, he gave her right in the inheritance, which was a sixth. So the point here is that Abu Bakr رضي الله عنه, he was not aware of this ruling. And he was informed by another companion. And then he verified that with another companion before executing that ruling, before giving her that right. And there are so many benefits in this affair here, and one of them is that we believe that Muhammad is the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and no one else. And Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's the only one who has al-ismah fi al-deen. al-isma fi tabrigh al-din. He's the only one who is safeguarded and infallible with regards to conveying the message, with regards to conveying the knowledge of the religion. As for everyone after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then he is exposed to being right or being wrong. And no doubt the best of the scholars of this ummah, beginning with the companions, beginning with the khulafa al-arba, beginning with them, they're right more than they're wrong, but they're not right absolutely. And they do not memorize and know everything from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Here's an issue here that Mughira, he was aware of, and even Muhammad bin Maslama, who was younger, is aware of, that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he was not aware of. He's not aware of. So we would not think that, the sunnah is gathered in one man, or that it's an aib, or a fault or defect, that there is a person of knowledge who was unaware of a particular ruling or issue, or a particular hadith of sunnah. He was unaware of that. This is not a fault or an aib for him. This is not a fault or an aib for him. And also we see the humbleness of Abu Bakr, and he was not hasty. He said, I don't know anything, get out of here. I don't know anything in the book or in the sunnah for you. You go ahead and leave. He didn't say that. Radiallahu anhu, what did he say? He asked the people, and he checked. And that's from humbleness, and also from truthfulness as well. Radiallahu anhu, radiallahu anhu. After this, he mentioned the next biography, Al-Dhahabi rahimahullah, and his work, Tadhkiratul Hufadh, and it's the biography of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu anhu. And he says, وَهُوَ الَّذِي سَنَّ لِلْمُحَدِّثِينَ أَتَثَبُّتَ فِي النَّقْلِ. And he, Umar radiyallahu anhu, he's the one who established the methodology for the scholars of hadith to verify and to check in the transmission of narrations. After this, he mentioned the narration of Abi Sa'id radiyallahu anhu, that he said, كُنْتُ فِي مَجْلِسٍ مِنْ مَجَالِسِ الْأَنصَارِ إِذْ جَاءَ أَبُو مُوسَى كَانَهُ مَذْعُورٌ. He said that I was in a gathering from the gatherings of the Ansar. Whenever Abu Musa, he came as if he's terrified or frightened, and he panicking. فقال استأذنت على عمر ثلاثا فلم يؤذن لي فرجعت. He said, I sought permission at the door of Umar three times, and I did not receive permission, so I returned. فقال ما منعك. So Umar, he said to me, what prohibited you from entering? قلت استأذنت فلم يؤذن لي فرجعت. He said, I sought permission and I did not receive permission, so I returned. وَقَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمَ. And the Messenger of Allah صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمَ, he said, إِذَا اسْتَأْذَنَ أَحَدُكُمْ ثَلَاثًا فَلَمْ يُؤْذَنْ لَهُ فَلْيَرْجِعْ. That if one of you seeks permission at the door of someone three times and then he does not receive permission, then let him return. Then let him return, and let him leave. فَقَالَ وَاللَّهِ, فَقَالَ يَنِي عُمَرُ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ, فَوَاللَّهِ لَتُقِيمَنَّ. وَاللَّهِ لَتُقِيمَنَّ عَلَيْهِ بَيِّنًا. He said, I swear by Allah, you're going to bring me a proof for this. Umar, he said, I swear by Allah, you're going to bring me a proof for this. A clarification. He's not aware of this narration. رضي الله عنه. وَاللَّهِ لَتُقِيمَنَّ عَلَيْهِ بَيِّنًا. So Abu Musa, he says, أَمِنْكُمْ أَحَدٌ سَمِعَهُ مِنَ النَّبِي. So have any one of you heard this narration from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم؟ فقال أبي بن كعب رضي الله عنه. أبي بن كعب, he says, والله لا يقوم معك إلا أصغر القوم. He said, والله, only the littlest one is going to go with you. And meaning that we've all heard this narration and we're all aware of this narration. Not only this, only the youngest of us is going to get up and go to go along with you for this affair. So he says, فكنت أصغر القوم فقمت معه. فأخبرت عمر أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال ذلك. So Abu Sa'id, he said, so I was the youngest in the gathering on that day, and I stood up and I went along with him, and I informed Umar رضي الله عنه that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said that. So here the Umar, he heard a narration that he never heard before. He was informed of a narration that he was unaware of, and he immediately ordered for verification. And Al-Hafidh ibn Hajar in Fath al-Bari, he mentioned the benefit here. He says, فَقَدْ جَاءَ فِي بَعْضِ طُرُقِهِ أَنَّ عُمَرَ قَالَ لِأَبِي مُوسَى. Has come in some chains of this narration and in other wordings that Umar, he said to Abu Musa, أَمَّا إِنِّي لَمْ أَتَّهِمْكَ وَلَكِنِّي أَرَدْتُ أَلَّا يَجْتَرِعَ النَّاسُ عَلَى حَدِيثٍ عَلَى الْحَدِيثِ عَلَى رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. أَمَّا إِنِّي لَمْ أَتَّهِمْكَ. As he said, verily, I'm not accusing you. It's come in some wordings of this narration that Umar, he said to Abu Musa, أَمَّا إِنِّي فَلَمْ أَتَّهِمْكَ. But indeed, I'm not accusing you. And I'm not accusing you. I don't think that you're lying. I'm not accusing you of lying or making a mistake. He says, "ولكني أردت ألا يجتري الناس على الحديث عن رسول الله." He said, "But what I intended is that the people will not be bold enough just to speak here left and right about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That they will not take it lightly. That they will not be bold enough to take it lightly or consider it insignificant narrations on the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam." So he is teaching the people here again in this manner. He's asking to bring a proof, and they're sending him out to bring someone to verify. Not because he's accusing him, not because he doesn't believe him, not because he thinks that he's in error or wrong or he's not reliable, but in order to teach the people that this is something serious. That this is something serious. When you narrate on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is something major. From those narrations that also have reached us mutawatir from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he said, "من كذب علي متعمدا فليتبوأ مقعده من النار." That whoever lies on me on purpose, then let him take his seat in the hellfire. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.